Hello there, boxing. Talk and fight for another episode of Boxing News Today. And let's start off with women's boxing, in particular, Sandy Ryan and her absolute clobbering of Terry Harper. I thought Terry Harper would do a little better than she did, but the Yorkshire woman did not fare well at all and did not come back out for the fourth round. So Sandy Ryan, obviously moving up in the rankings, taking place in Sheffield Arena recently, a good battering of Terry Harper. And, well, congratulations to both women, quite frankly. It's always hard to get in the ring and fight as they did and give it all you've got as they did. But now the WBO welterweight strap is wrapped tightly around Sandy Ryan's waist. Congratulations, Sandy. Right, let's move on. As I promised, a quick little zip around the world here. Recent battles fought by women over in San Francisco Solano. Where the heck is that? I have no idea. Sorry, guys. Augustina Vasquez, 108 pounds, won an 8-round unanimous decision over Karen Ivana Dominguez, 106 pounds. I should have Googled that first and I didn't, but there you go. I'll say it slowly. San Francisco Solano. That's gonna, what do you think? Mexico? Maybe Argentina? Oh well. Figure it out. Let's have a quick look over at Bankstown City Parkway and Condell Park. Ella Boot won by fifth round technical knockout over Usana Kwam Tha Will Suhana Wang in a scheduled 10 round bout. They were fighting for the vacant WBC silver lightweight belt in a second female bout. Jessica Adams won by a 6-round technical knockout over at Jackie Toth. In a third female bout, Amber Amelia won by 6-round unanimous decision over Ali Jensen. Again, that took place in Condell Park. Now, over in Buenos Aires, Argentina, for sure, at the casino down there, Lucia Perez won a 4-round unanimous decision over at Brenda Lorenzo. And fighting around the world continues. Over in the Philippines, we saw that Marie Benilli won a 6-round unanimous decision over Charame Salvador, 59-55 on all cards. And most importantly for us here in Canada, down in Colombia, a good night of fighting took place involving a Canadian, a bantamweight by the name of Tanya Walters out of Toronto, won by a first-round knockout over Vanessa Edwards out of Colombia. The bout was scheduled at 6 rounds, but only took 1 round for Tanya Walters to knock out her opponent there. In a second female bout, Shamara Woods out of Allentown, Pennsylvania, won by 4th-round technical knockout over Natalia Jimenez out of Colombia as well. Good stuff. And if I just want to stretch it back just a little bit further, over in Tokyo, Japan, on March 18th, so a few days ago, Mao Kamada out of Japan had a 4-round split draw with Natsuki Yamada of Chiba, Japan, just on the outskirts of Tokyo. So some good fighting all around the world. Congratulations, women. Keep it up. Interesting news out of England, which does not involve the American Boxing Association, the ABA, but in fact involves the Amateur Boxing Alliance out of England, who have formed an alliance with Gianluca De Caro's organization, the British and Irish Boxing Authority, that's BIBA. So the ABA over in England and BIBA joined forces, shall we say, at the London Military Boxing Club in Bromley, where they agreed in principle to cross-affiliate. And reading straight from the press release, it says the historic agreement will provide not only a clear pathway for amateur boxers that seek to progress to the professional boxing ranks, but also to compete nationally on a planned Pro-Am tournament series, with the ABA sanctioning the amateur boxing contests and BIBA sanctioning the professional boxing contests. And it does have international implications as well, I might add. Reading further here, in addition, the two organizations are also working together to develop international tournaments as well as an international Pro-Am series. Currently, Pro-Am tournaments are being planned for Malta, Cyprus, Egypt, and Israel, with further countries expected to be announced in the coming months. So Pro-Am tournaments are obviously a good opportunity for young amateurs to get noticed by professional, for lack of better description, scouts. I don't think boxing companies, organizations, managers have scouts. I really don't, but they must come to the attention somehow. And winning, I suppose, winning records is one way, but also scouting these particular tournaments would be another excellent suggestion from my part. All right. Speaking of excellent, recently, Dalton Smith remained undefeated by defeating Jose Zepeda in a very dominant fashion, a fifth round knockout that took place at Sheffield Arena over in Sheffield, UK. It was a card promoted by Matchroom, broadcast on DAZN, and Dalton Thunder Smith has announced himself on the world stage following this impressive win. And attention now turns to what could be next for Smith. So let's go through just a couple of names. Adam Azim, 11-0, 8 knockouts, exceptional. Impressive ring IQ. And so he would be up there in terms of potential fighters. Sandor Martin, 42-3, obviously a veteran at the high level. Recently defeating Mikey Garcia, narrowly losing by split decision to Teofimo Lopez. But he's a Spanish fighter with good pedigree and obviously could do well against young Dalton Smith. Regis Progress, we've mentioned that name quite often. He's got a 29-2 record, 24 knockouts. It would be another huge step up for Smith, despite the American being outclassed in his last fight against Devin Haney. So could the Brit began Progress at the right time? Possibly. Progress is an accomplished boxer with a fearsome left hook, which has seen him knock out many opponents during his career. He also has a strong chin and is thoughtful with every shot he throws, ensuring he doesn't waste any energy. So Dalton Smith making the headlines right now. And who will his next opponent be? You know, is he aiming low or aiming high? Depends how you look at it. Speaking of guys who we have not mentioned in a while, in a fight that flew almost completely under the radar, according to my friends over at boxing247.com. It looks like heavyweight contender Michael Hunter pounded out a fourth round corner retirement win over Mexico's Ignacio Esparza recently, with the fight taking place in Zapopan, Mexico. 35 years of age, Hunter just might have been in the ring with the most completely out of shape, hog fat fighter you'll have the misfortune of seeing this year. James Slater, two thumbs up. Fantastic description. Apologies to Mr. Esparza. I would not want to meet him in the ring. And Slater goes on to say, there's simply no way of describing Esparza's physical appearance. His belly swollen, flab everywhere. Hunter seems to be the forgotten man of the heavyweight division. Had nothing to beat on Saturday night, and he won with ease, banging away at Esparza as he was stuck on the ropes in the corner. At the end of the fourth round, Esparza's team pulled their man out. He should not have been in the ring in the first place. That falls into the wow category. Anyway, Hunter is now 22-1-2 with 16 knockouts. Meanwhile, Esparza has fallen to 23-4, and obviously needs to get back in shape. Hunter was in his first match, by the way, since September of last year, when he was in the ring with other big names such as Martin Bacoli, which was a stoppage win for Hunter, by the way. He fought Alexander Usyk, a loss, but it was down at cruiserweight. And Hunter's sold defeat at that weight. And Alexander Povetkin, remember that name? Which was one of his draws. Hunter's last fight of any real prominence was his fight in December 2021 against Jerry Forrest, where Hunter was lucky to have escaped with a draw instead of a points loss. So there's a brief breakdown of Hunter's career over the year, shall we say, leading up to a good thrashing of someone who might not, should not have been in that ring to begin with. But he was. I'm sure he was brave to step in the ring. Speaking of heavyweights, it's interesting to see that we have Deontay Wilder and Zhilei Zhang in the works for a fight. Let's have a quick read here. It looks like a heavyweight showdown between recent Joseph Parker victims Deontay Wilder and Zhilei Zhang may be the co-feature for the June 1st clash between Artur Beterbiev and Dmitry Bivol for the undisputed light heavyweight title in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, according to ESPN. Another heavyweight bout between Filip Hrgović and Daniel Dubois is also reportedly in play. So it looks like the Saudis once again are looking to put a slew of heavyweights in the ring. It's called the glamour division for a reason, I suppose. Speaking of glamour, looks like Caroline Dubois thinks she can step in where Chantel Cameron obviously might not be able to. She wants Katie Taylor. That's the truth, says Shane McGuigan, talking about the immediate goals of his lightweight starlet, Caroline Dubois, brother of Daniel Dubois, sister of Daniel Dubois. Southpaw Londoner Dubois is now 9-0 with 5 stoppage wins, and she's an integral part of the Boxers, B-O-X-X-E-R, stable. Taylor is a matchroom fighter who boxes on DAZN, but talks for a third fight between her and Chantel Cameron have stalled, and McGuigan is hopeful Dubois will be able to land the Taylor fight, even if that means traveling to Ireland. I mean, whoopee-doo, because that's where his dad was a fighting hero. And that Taylor, as you know, she's 23-1, 6 knockouts. She's an Irish icon without a doubt. But to be blunt, getting up there in age and could have met her match. But as you know, let's see how it goes. And as I've always said, said McGuigan, oh, you know, Katie will probably vacate. Katie will probably move on. But Katie Taylor's hanging on to those belts. And if she's hanging on those belts and Caroline is saying, I want Katie Taylor, that would be huge. So, as Dubois' coach, he continued, that would be massive. Katie might actually genuinely be up for it. So, it's like potentially the passing of the torch, or not, as the case may be. Dubois is 23 years old and the number one contender for Taylor's WBA title. We'll see what happens for the ladies on that front. Speaking of WBO, junior middleweight champion Tim Sayoux, 24-0, 17 knockouts. Have you seen these pictures online? Him standing up against Sebastian Fandora. My goodness, there is one heck of a height difference. So I can see Tim just pounding away at the fellow's belly for a while, hoping for a decent liver shot, is what I think. Anyway, Fandora, he's got a record of 21-1, no slouch. They're gonna walk into the ring very soon on Premier Prime pay-per-view, T-Mobile Arena, Las Vegas. $70 US on pay-per-view, by the way, for this fight. Originally, remember, it was scheduled. Keith Thurman was supposed to enter that ring against Sayu, but he suffered a training injury and pulled out. It was a move that many boxing fans saw coming due to 35-year-old Thurman's inactivity over the past few years, with him having fought just 3 times since 2017. Anyway, so let's just pay attention to this one, because I'm sure there's going to be a war of words erupting very soon, although they've been very polite, I've got to admit, as other fighters often aren't. But in this case, Tim from Australia and Fandora, he's, God, I just can't believe the height difference. So anyway, it's going to be a great fight to watch, and it certainly is, quite frankly, garnering a lot of headlines around the world, certainly in America without a doubt, and obviously in Australia as well. The co-feature bout is between WBA light welterweight champ Rolando Rolly Romero. He's 15-1, 13 knockouts, and Isaac Pitbull Cruz, 25-2-1, 17 knockouts. And that should be entertaining and has knockout written all over it, quite frankly, in favor of Pitbull Cruz, as Rolly looked a little bit poor in his last fight against this male, Barrasso. Quick news to report out of Netflix. As you all know, Netflix is going to air, broadcast, stream, whatever you want to call it these days, the July 20th bout between Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. It'll be their first foray into the world of boxing, per se. But the reason they're doing it is probably because they've noticed that whenever they air a boxing movie or boxing series, their ratings do go up. So it is an opportunity for Netflix to take advantage of not just the Rocky and the Creed and all the various other, the Foreman movie that came out recently, you know, things of that nature. But realistically, they're seeing sports as an opportunity on a global level. Certainly what we've been talking here on Talk and Fight for a long, long time. Boxing is a global sport with millions of fans around the world in practically every country and should not be ignored, as it is being ignored currently by broadcasters on both sides of the pond and, quite frankly, on all sides of all ponds. But anyway, let's have a quick look at what some of the commentary is regarding Netflix. They've delved into, I'm just going to say, they've delved into other sports, and there's a company out there called Excelsior Sports and Entertainment, and the president is Tag Garson, and there's some comments coming out of Tag's mouth with respect to storylines, and we've been talking about this for a long time. There are some fantastic stories involving boxers, other than the obvious out there, the George Foremans, the Muhammad Ali's, but some of these boxers over the years, over the, at least minimally past 100 years, not to mention, I would say, past 150 years, just fantastic stories, whether you want to dig into, say, a period piece environment and talk about some of the origins of female boxing, or some of the heroic endeavors of young slash old men fighting their way into what might be called a white man's sport, or even one controlled by certain, shall we say, let's say it, mafia types. At the end of the day, Garson said, everything that they're doing as a Netflix has compelling storylines. It doesn't matter what genre we're talking about within sports entertainment. The way that they're going about it is also putting a very high production value into what's being distributed across Netflix. So he's, you know, Gabe Spitzer, by the way, Netflix vice president of nonfiction sports, had said in recent interviews, they've talked to every league and team, but have mainly discussed series and documentaries. And, you know, you might talk about any sport and any great heroic struggle that has taken place among the thousands of athletes that have tried to get to the top, as I said, in any sport. But boy, has boxing been overlooked? I would say so. Anyway, so congratulations for Netflix, at least for picking up this particular fight. Is going to draw huge numbers, despite what we might think of Mike Tyson taking on Jake Paul or vice versa. And despite all the, we still don't know whether it's going to be a professional bout or one where they, we know they're not going to fight with headgear, but what will be the weight of the gloves involved, and will they be fighting professionally, or is this going to be an exhibition match? That we don't know just yet, and we'll obviously keep you informed. One last comment with respect to this particular episode involves Teddy Atlas. He hit the microphone recently and said, in order for Saul Canelo Alvarez to secure his legacy and be considered the best 168 pounder, you know, that's the super middleweight, he must fight and beat David Benavidez. He said, I said before, it's ludicrous that these fans call him the greatest Mexican of all time. He's a good fighter. Atlas said, I get it. He's a hell of a fighter. All right, no problem. And he's been around a hell of a long time, since he was 16, and he's only 33. It's amazing how long he's been around already. He's won all kinds of titles, and he's picked his spots really well. And if you get to pick your spots, if you're the money guy, that's the way it is with life in anything, not just in boxing. Atlas, however, believes a fight with his closest rival, 28-0 Benavidez, would go some way to backing up those who see him as the best Mexican fighter. If he ever wants to be able to have that argument, he has to fight Benavidez. Atlas added, forget about being the greatest Mexican of all time. If you don't fight Benavidez, you're not the greatest 168-pounder of all time. You're not the greatest super middleweight. You want to say you're the best super middleweight in the world right now? Then you've got to fight Benavidez. So we'll see how Canelo fares against Jaime Munguia coming up May 4th on the Cinco de Mayo weekend. And then we can talk about who's the best and who might challenge who for that title. All right, boxing fans, appreciate you entertaining me today. Remember, like, share, subscribe, hit that notification bell. And we'll see you again 11 a.m. Eastern time when I go live here on Talk and Fight. Thank you very much.